Jenny, thank you so much for joining me. You are the Burning Man reporter for the Reno Gazette Journal. So why don't we start off by talking about what is Burning Man?
That is like the ultimate question that everyone asks, and I still don't know that I have a really good answer. But essentially, Burning Man is a 68,000-person art camp out in the middle of the Black Rock Desert, which is just 2 hours north of here. And it's a place where people have the ability to express themselves in whatever way. It's kind of where you can do everything you're not supposed to or you don't feel comfortable doing in normal society. So it's pretty well known that it's kind of a free-for-all when it comes to whatever you're going to wear, what you're going to make of your car. People have cars that are, they look like dentures or cars that look like dragons, and they play with a lot of fire.
How important is Burning Man to Northern Nevada? It didn't originally start here, but it seems like Reno and Washoe County have kind of adopted it as at least being their own.
Yeah. Burning Man has become a central part of the culture, I think, here in Reno and in Northern Nevada. And it's, you know, slowly creeping out towards other parts of America, too. It's really kind of changing the arts culture, I think, as we think of it now. But in Northern Nevada, you know, one, economically, it's huge. We get a big influx of money in our hotels and at our gas stations and at our Home Depot is one of it. This is like a huge thing for Home Depot here in Reno. They stock everything with everything that the burners will need. And then it's also just driven a lot of the art scene here in Reno. We have a ton of public art works around the city. About a dozen of them are from Burning Man originally. And Reno has, I think, for the better, become a city that really rallies around its artists and is becoming more attractive to people from California who want to be part of this scene. And it's also a less expensive city. So we're seeing a lot of creative types and also Silicon Valley types that are kind of considering Reno or coming on over the border.
There's still this perception of Burning Man being a Bacchanalian hippie love fest in the desert. Now, is that a fair assessment, or is there more to it than that?
While I think it's a really good description, I love that word, Bacchanalian, I think there's a lot more to it. One, Burning Man has always been a lot of techies, and a lot of them have a lot of money. These aren't just hippies that are, you know, roaming wanderers of America. These are people that have really established careers and in their day-to-day life may be quite powerful in the world, but this is where they come to let loose and let that hippie come out of them. You also have, though, a lot of people that are not your hippie stereotype at all. I have a lot of friends out there that are Republican, and they love guns, and they love everything that, you know, is kind of Nevada. And so you have a lot of libertarian types out there, too. So it's a really odd mixture. But I guess what I'm getting at, too, is that these people are a lot, and for better or worse, are criticized because a lot of them are rich. I mean, Burning Man is not a cheap thing anymore. It used to be just a camp out of a few hundred people just going and having a big bonfire and being weird together. Now people spend thousands of dollars to go out to this thing. So it's not exactly grassroots anymore. It's mainstream. And you have people that get big RVs and pay people to put together a wardrobe and pay people to cook for them there. So this isn't just a spinoff of Woodstock by any means.
You know, that's interesting. You haven't covered it for the last 31 years, obviously. But you have covered it for the last few. How have you seen it change? Because that's what we've heard a lot of recently, is that Burning Man has just changed so much over the course of its lifetime. You know, have you noticed that in just your few short years of covering it?
You know, I don't know that I've seen it change so much in my time covering it. But I last year did this big research project of just Burning Man's history. And I can certainly see where there's these chapters of Burning Man's lives or Burning Man's life. I think when it began, it was very much kind of what you would think of as a happening. You know, it was a lot of people putting together weird ideas and, you know, putting them to the test. Now it's in this wave of kind of this awkward mainstream entry where It's certainly known by most people in the United States. And it's becoming better known in the world. So there's this culture that's kind of creeping out into the world, and it's grabbing on to people that perhaps would have been part of Burning Man 30 years ago, but it's also grabbing on to people that Burning Man maybe didn't foresee it grabbing onto. For instance, they call this group of people that come to Burning Man in the last leg of the week, the Weekend Warriors, because it's a bunch of people from LA who love to go to rave concerts, and they have fancy clothing and they spend thousands of dollars just to be there for a few days, and they don't maybe get the experience that Burning Man originally intended them to have. So some of them are thought of as, some of the burners out there today are kind of exclusive. They don't want to be part of the main populace. They don't want to participate in things that get them knowing other people, you know? So there's kind of this unintentional inclusion of, you know, people that maybe don't want to be part of the culture that was originally intended.
What are some things that you have seen in the past, you know, have got you excited? And what are you excited to see this year? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I'm really excited to see the gummy bear pyramid.
Hold on. What is a gummy bear pyramid?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's this pyramid that this woman is building. Her name is DiCapria. She's a Bay Area artist. And it's a pyramid covered in gummy bear mandalas. So, you know, I believe it's a Hindu, perhaps Buddhist, mandalas. There are these beautiful geometric signs or, images from Asia. And she's basically making these beautiful geometric designs out of gummy bears. And granted, you can't eat them. They're not actual gummy bears. They're casts made in like this plastic residue. But I just think that is a great idea. I feel like I want one of those in my backyard. I mean, who wouldn't, right?
I mean, you could go with that, yeah.
I don't know what I'm particularly excited to see this year. And part of that is because I don't know everything that's going to be out there this year. And I think part of that actually, part of that's because I've been busy. But part of that, too, is Burning Man, I think, the year before, had so much press about these huge Burning Man art pieces.
The Space Whale,
747 was a big thing. They brought a plane out last year, and it'll be there again. And then they had, Catacomb of Veils. And some of these pieces actually didn't get finished, until a few days before the burn. I think there's been almost a recession. I don't know if that's the right word, but people have been pulling back from advertising these giant pieces of art because there was so much expectation. I think everyone kind of is excited this year because there's not as much grand expectation. I'm excited about that because I don't know what I'm going to run into this year. And I think I'm going to try to keep on that for next year's.
So do you have any advice for people who might be heading out for the first time or who haven't been in a while?
You can always go online and look at the packing list. Water, obviously. Chapstick is my very, very best friend out there. And I think even though I'm part of the media and I love what I do, don't always read everything you can so that you know exactly what to expect, because part of the beauty of Burning Man is not knowing what you're going to see out there. A lot of my favorite moments that I've had out at Burning Man are really actually very small things that were never put in the media. You know, it's not like, it's not the big sculptures necessarily, but the little ones and just the odd and friendly people that you meet out there. I will always remember this one lady. I was bicycling down the quote unquote street and saw this big line for some food. And it turned out to be this woman who was serving up bacon tamales. And I talked to her, and one, bacon tamales is a genius thing. But two, this woman spent months making hundreds of bacon tamales just so she could give them out for free to hundreds of strangers at Burning Man in the dust and the heat. And that was her thing. That's what she enjoyed doing. And I was very thankful for that bacon tamale.
All right, Jenny Kane, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.